This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, all this week, part two of the brand new series from the Gospel of Luke, a series we're calling Simple Gospel. Chapter one is usually used around the Christmas seasons, hence some Christmas references in the message. It was given around Christmas, but it's the second message we're giving in this series about the birth of Christ. I think it will speak to you in a powerful way. God bless you. John MacArthur, Panorama City, California, says he was thinking about what is the most common phrase bantied about at Christmas that's used both in Christian circles and in secular circles. And he said it has to be the phrase, the spirit of Christmas. That's what we talk about, the spirit of Christmas. But that means different things to different people. To the retail industry, that has a whole different ring to it, believe me. And I was doing some research on how much we spend at Christmas. We'll spend $1.2 billion on Christmas trees alone. $1.2 billion alone. I'm not making a comment or slamming anybody, but that's what some people mean by the spirit of the Christmas is spend your money. Let's buy. Let's spend the money. Keep the economy going. It's about commerce. Other people, it's about sending cards, and millions of people buy and send cards. We appreciate getting cards from people. It means a lot, and see pictures of children and so forth as their families are changing. For other people, the alcohol industry says the spirit of Christmas is us. We've got the corner on it. One liquor distributor in LA in recent years bragged about the fact that during the Christmas season, on one day, just one day, the wholesaler said, we did $1 million today in alcohol. $1 million. And that was just one day for one particular alcohol distributor. We're wholesaler, $1 million. And so to them, the spirit of Christmas is the spirit, the spirits of Christmas, to use that term. You know, seasons like Christmas intensify the sadness and intensify negative things. If there are marital problems going on, I got a little secret to let you in on. It's going to intensify at Christmas. If there's grief in a family, it's going to intensify at Christmas. If there's tension between brothers and sisters, it's just going to intensify at Christmas. Every church I've ever served anywhere in the country, I've had numbers of people tell me there's somebody in our family every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, who blows up and lets everybody have it. I mean, like clockwork, Christmas dinner every year, the same person goes into a rage. And it's amazing to me. How does that happen? Because people have things come to the surface at Christmas, because the season of Christmas intensifies anger, sadness, resentment, bitterness. All those things are intensified. Where are you going with this? John MacArthur said there's one word that says it all about the spirit of Christmas. And I never thought about it before until he said it. It's a word that begins with the letter W, worship. Christmas truly, honestly, is all about worshiping of Christ the King. And most people don't get that. A lot of Christian people don't get that. It's all about worshiping. You say, how do you know that? Well, we're going to read about two women today. A woman by the name of Elizabeth, older woman who's pregnant, expecting John the Baptist. She's carrying the baby known as John the Baptist, a relative of Mary, who's carrying who's told by Gabriel last week, you heard the message if you were here, that you're going to have a baby and his name will be called Jesus. He will save people from their sins. And that's where we talk about worship today, because they do.
Well, this message from Luke 1 will continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You know who I think is an expert on Christmas is Mary. She's the one who gave birth to the physical body of Jesus here on earth. I'm going to listen to Mary. I want to listen to Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, who said this. It begins in Luke 1, exactly where Kevin left off last week, verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea,
where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard, H-E-A-R-D, I want you to underline that word in your heart, heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord," isn't that interesting? Elizabeth realized that Mary was carrying the Messiah, "the mother of my Lord, should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." I'm going to stop right there. We're going to continue in just two or three minutes with what's called the Magnificat, the praise, the psalm of praise that Mary offers to the Lord. But I want to talk about the word heard. Twice, Elizabeth mentions the physical act of hearing. "And when I heard your voice," when I heard the news, "the baby leaped in my womb as she was filled with the Holy Spirit." So much of what we experience in life comes about through hearing. This could be painful for some of you, because I've been with families in both scenarios. I've been with families when they get bad news. And just hearing those words physically, you just see them crumble. It collapses emotionally and sometimes physically. Their power to words. And conversely, when somebody gets good news, I've seen people stand up in a waiting room and say, "Praise God. He's going to live. She's going to make it." Power of what you hear impacts a person physiologically. And that's why Elizabeth said, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to give you some information about the power of hearing. A French ear, nose, and throat specialist by the name of Dr. Alfred Tomatis spent 50 years of his life devoted to understanding the ear and its functions. That's all he studied was hearing. He believed that the ear was the most important of all of our sense organs. The ear controls balance, a sense of balance, rhythm and movement, and is the conductor of the entire nervous system, he said. Through the medulla, the auditory nerve connects with all the muscles of the body. Hence, muscle tone, equilibrium, flexibility, and vision are affected by sound. Through the vagus nerve, the inner ear connects with the larynx, lungs, stomach, liver, bladder, kidneys, small intestine, and large intestine. Tomatis believed that high frequency sounds of 3,000 hertz and above actually activated the brain and affected cognitive functions such as thinking, spatial perception, and memory. He said listening to these sounds increases our attentiveness and concentration. You say, what's that got to do with the message today? A lot of stuff happens spiritually because of hearing. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:17 would say this? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A lot of stuff happens spiritually because of hearing. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:17 would say this? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And isn't it amazing that God has chosen the preaching the gospel so that people literally make life-changing decisions, get this, because of something they heard in a message. I have been impacted because of something I heard in a message. And some of you have changed behavior because of something you heard. You have been encouraged because of something you heard. You've been convicted in your spirit about some sin going on in your life because of something you heard. God knew what he was doing in hearing. You know, Helen Keller would say, blindness pulled me away from the world. Blindness pulled me away from the world, but deafness pulled me away from people. Isn't that interesting?
Blindness pulled me away from the world, but deafness pulls me away from people. She understood the importance of hearing as a deaf person. Why am I talking about that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let's read the most important part of this passage. It's called the Magnificat. Verse 46 says, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." I want to look at 46 and 47 very quickly. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, but my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I personally believe that we are what's called triune beings. You are body, soul, and spirit. You say, what's the difference? Well, everybody knows what your body is. You dressed it this morning. You brushed your teeth this morning. You combed your hair. You did things to the body. We understand the body. The soul is that which is your personality and your intellect. I really believe that's what your soul is. It's your personality, your intellect, your thinking process. And Mary says, my soul, my personality, and my mind glorify the Lord. That's what you did in worship this morning. Involve your personality and your mind. But she says, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The spirit is the part of you that reaches out to God. This may speak to somebody today because it happened this week. Your spirit's the place where you feel convicted about sin in your life. That's your spirit. Your spirit's where you feel guilt, true guilt, not imaginary guilt or false guilt. You experience guilt in your spirit. You experience joy in your spirit. Joy is a function of the spirit, not of the mind or the personality. True joy is a function of the spirit. So when Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, or glorifies the Lord, same thing. She's talking about her mind and personality, but my spirit, the deepest part of me, rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. And from now on, generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One, God, has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him.
Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. New feature on Cross Hope, it's called Visual Stories. You need to see them as well as listen to them on crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Now, I told you I was going to talk about verse 51. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. You know where pride happens? Inside. You can be a man who's proud and nobody knows it, but you know it, and God knows it, because it's in your inmost thoughts. Proud people are never wrong. Proud people are always right in their decisions. They really are. It was someone, I think, like Socrates, who said, a fool always thinks he's wise. A fool always thinks he's wise, whereas a wise man says, you know, occasionally I do foolish things. Occasionally I do things that aren't too smart, but a fool always thinks of himself or herself as wise, always. And isn't it interesting? He scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. What in the world does that mean? I found out the word scattering has to do with taking a handful of grain and throwing it up in the air and scattering it. You thought, what's that have to do? That's what God does in the life of a proud man or a proud woman. They don't know which end is up. They get confused because the pride is felt and experienced in the inmost thoughts, and God scatters those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and he's brought down rulers from their thrones, and he lifts up the humble. How many of you remember the Shah of Iran from the 80s? You remember that? Reagan and all that? Did you know that he had the audacity at one point in his life to refer to himself as the King of Kings? I thought that was a title for Jesus. It was, and is. But the Shah of Iran referred to himself, I understand, as the King of Kings. And I look at that verse, verse 52, took on a whole new meaning when I thought of him. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, and he's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. God remembers to be merciful even when you don't remember to be merciful. There are husbands who never remember to be merciful to a wife. And there are wives who never think about being merciful to a husband. And there are parents who never think about being merciful to a son or daughter. And there are sons and daughters who never think about showing any mercy to a parent. And the point that Mary makes is God remembers to be merciful. He doesn't forget. Do you know why I need to know that? I need God's mercy, and so do you. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist in Vienna many years ago. He was in a concentration camp. Some of you know a little bit about Viktor Frankl. He was the father of a therapy program known as logotherapy. I'm not even sure what that means. But he had the most interesting experiment that he would tell people to do when he would give lectures. He would say, project yourself onto your deathbed. Mentally, make a picture. Project yourself onto your deathbed. And he said, project yourself for a moment onto your deathbed and then think back. What, from that point of view, would you wish you had done with your life? What words would you wish you had said or not said? What choices would you wish you had made or not made? What decisions did you make in a two-minute window that it could have gone either way, but you chose one way and you wish I could go back and change that decision I made just in a two-minute window? By entering again into this mystery, he said, of birth and rebirth and your deathbed, he said, you find out something about yourself.
Well, we'll conclude this message tomorrow on CrossHope. Remember, our website has a new feature. It's called Visual Stories on crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening to CrossHope.
Bruce Larson, somebody I quote often, tells a great story out of his ministry in California. This was back, I would think, in the 80s. He said there was a woman in the church in Southern California who was from North Dakota. She was in her 80s, back in the 80s. When she was 7 years old, she lived in a small town in North Dakota, went to a one-room schoolhouse. North Dakota, get the scene. There was a day that she went to school. This was before accurate weather forecast. It's 40 degrees below zero, and a blizzard, a North Dakota blizzard, hit the area. One by one, parents, concerned parents, arrived to escort their children home safely in this blinding snowstorm. Soon, Ruth, 7 years old, and her teacher were the only people that were there. Can you imagine how frightening that would be for a student? You're seven and you're the only one there, and you're the only child whose mom or dad hasn't come to get you. The teacher, though obviously worried, tried to reassure her young charge. Ruth, I've got a bucket of coal and one sandwich. I sure hope it gets us through the night. I want you to listen to what a seven-year-old young lady said naively to her teacher. Ruth answered firmly, "Don't worry, teacher. My dad will come for us." Since so many hours had elapsed, the teacher was at best skeptical. "How do you know your dad will come for us?" Pointing upward, this seven-year-old little girl said, "My father in heaven will tell my father here on earth to come and get me, and he will." And the teacher smiled condescendingly. "Hey, yeah, that's nice. What a nice thought." Hours went by. And Ruth said eventually her dad showed up by himself, brought ropes with him, tied a rope to the teacher, tied a rope to his daughter, and tied both ropes around him. And they went out into the storm together, tied together in case one of them fell. They wouldn't lose each other. And eventually, hours later, got them home. Ruth told Bruce Larson, she said, "I learned an incredible lesson about my father on earth. And an even more important lesson about my heavenly father." What's that have to do with worship and Christmas and all that? Everything. Coming to Christ, becoming a Christian, is you come home to the Father through the Son. Always has been that way, always will be. You come home to the Father through the Son, and you give everything that you know about yourself, and you release everything you know about your past and all the garbage in your life, and you lay it at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, this is what I have, just as I am. This is me. And the Lord does something in a man's life or a woman's life when they do that. You see, God gives his grace to the humble. He rejects the proud. He resists the proud, which means literally he opposes a proud man as an opponent. Don't ever forget that God opposes a proud man as an opponent, a proud woman as an opponent, as the other side of the scrimmage line. But he gives his grace, his gifts to the humble. Did you know if you read in the Gospel of Matthew about the wise men, the magi, this is really intriguing to me. It says they came bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Valuable stuff of the day. I mean, stuff is expensive. And we know very little about who these guys were. We really do. We see them in Christmas plays, but we don't know who they were. But do you remember what Matthew says they did when they saw Jesus? They got on their knees and they worshiped him. They worshiped a baby. They worshiped a baby because intuitively, instinctively, they knew this is the one. This is the one who came to be the Redeemer of the world. His name is Jesus. That's what we do at Christmas. We worship. Nothing else matters compared to worship.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.